Well, it's time to go to the movies with Matt Olien, and that fanfare sort of says it all, because this is kind of a movie about the movies, Matt.
Yeah, it kind of is. Quentin Tarantino's ninth film he's directed, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, highly anticipated. Once I saw the first trailer to this months and months ago, I could not wait to see it. This is his film about sort of the Manson murders and sort of not the Manson murders. So that's you need to go see it to know what I'm talking about. But basically, this is probably my number one film of the year so far. I've blown hot and cold on Tarantino his whole career. You know, loved Inglourious Basterds, did not like The Hateful Eight, very up and down on Django Unchained. You know, Pulp Fiction's a masterpiece. But this is one of his most gentle films. The violence that he's known for is minimal. We don't have the usual lashings of violence. The dialogue is great as usual. No one's better at writing dialogue. Sometimes his scenes go on too long. He could use an editor, but he's an auteur. He can make whatever film he wants. But this is really an ode to L.A. Hollywood in the late 60s. So you have old Hollywood kind of ending and new Hollywood kind of taking over. You know, Roman Polanski. He now lives in Hollywood. He's a part of this film, of course, married to Sharon Tate. He's a hot new director. But really, the film centers around kind of this buddy bromance between Leonardo DiCaprio as Rick Dalton, kind of this has-been, past his prime, Western TV actor who tried to have a film career, and his stunt double, Cliff Booth, played by Brad Pitt. They are so good on screen together, Doug. It was one of the best buddy pairings I can remember in recent history. It almost feels like a throwback to those 50s and 60s, you know, two male stars on screen with that bonding thing going on. And Tarantino writes it like that, and they have some phenomenal chemistry together. These are two movie stars. You're watching two movie stars really do their thing. They're funny with each other. There's some touching scenes, some moving scenes. Now, how this frames with the Manson murders and the Manson family is interesting. What I can tell you is Dalton's character lives on Cielo Drive. Okay, he lives next to Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate. That's about all I can tell you. How this intersects is a subject of controversy. The final act of the film is being much discussed. We're not going to do spoilers here. I liked how the film ended. Others have not liked how the film ended. Most critics have liked this film. A few have not. A few have had trouble with the ending of the film. I was totally okay with the ending of this film. But like I said, it's an ode to old Hollywood meeting new Hollywood. But also there's that underbelly, Doug. That underbelly of runaways, flower children, hippies flocking to Southern California in the late 60s, you know, for good purposes. But of course, the girls who fall under Manson's spell, Tex Watson, these people, that was the horrible underbelly and the tragedy that happened with the Tate-LaBianca murders.
Well, this is set 50 years ago, 1969, mm-hmm. the same year we landed on the moon, and all these horrible things mm-hmm. happened in Hollywood at that time. I lived out there just a few years after this, and I can tell you that Hollywood was not my cup of tea. It was nice weather, but kind of a nasty underbelly.
What Tarantino pulls off here is not only a humorous take with Pitt and DiCaprio, we have some great cameos. Damian Lewis shows up as Steve McQueen at the Playboy Mansion. You know, Tarantino loves throwing in these touches, these little scenes that don't really have anything to do with the plot, but yet they're entertaining. So I've never seen anybody imitate Steve McQueen, but Damian Lewis pulls it off. And McQueen was a friend of Polanski and Tate. That's a fascinating cameo. There's a great flashback scene with Brad Pitt's character kung fu fighting with Bruce Lee on the set of Green Hornet. That's a great scene that people are talking about. Julia Butters, 10-year-old actress, scene stealer, has these two scenes with DiCaprio. She's playing a Western girl in this Western. DiCaprio has a guest stint on the Western TV show Lancer, and she plays a little girl in the show, and they kind of have this scene where they're talking about things before the scene happens, and she is so engaging and so funny in the scene that she almost steals the scene from the great Leonardo DiCaprio. So look for those cameos as well. But there's this kind of soft underbelly of fear hanging over the film. There's a phenomenal scene where Brad Pitt does end up at the Spahn Ranch. where the Manson family lived.
Yes.
And the creepiness that hangs over that scene is really well done by Tarantino. Foreshadowing, is it not foreshadowing to what's going to happen at the end of the film? That's a really interesting scene. Pitt really gives a movie star performance. He's so super cool. He drives around Los Angeles. Some of the driving shots around L.A. are really good. You have the set design down to the detail of the times, Doug. You have the radio playing, you know, kind of that rock and roll DJ radio of the time. So the details are really good. Couple criticisms. Tarantino long been criticized for underwriting female characters. Margot Robbie is very good as Sharon Tate when she's on screen. I wanted a couple more scenes from her. You know, she's really engaging as Sharon Tate. You get a sense of this woman's life that was snuffed out way too early when she and her baby were killed by the Manson family. I wanted a few more scenes with Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate. That was my one criticism of the film, but the film is really built around Pitt and DiCaprio and how that intersects with the Manson family in the final act.
Well, there are a lot of stars in this film. You mentioned DiCaprio, Pitt, and Robbie. Emile Hirsch, Dakota Fanning, Bruce Dern, Timothy Oliphant, Al Pacino.
Yes, Al Pacino shows up as a movie producer who's offering DiCaprio the chance to go to Italy to shoot spaghetti westerns. So that's an interesting side note in this film as well. But I love the film. I know some people have not liked it so far, but generally the response has been good. It's so much better than The Hateful Eight, his kind of misfire 4 years ago that was set in like one set with this 70mm film that they used, which didn't work for me at all. But again, he can write dialogue like nobody's business. Could the film be edited a little bit? Yeah, it runs about 2 hours and 40 minutes. The film starts slowly, but it's like a slow burn buildup to what the final act is going to reveal.
So is this an Oscar film?
I think it is. I think it's the kind of film the Academy will like. Tarantino has 2 screenplay Oscars already. I see a 3rd directing nomination coming for him here, depending on what the rest of the year happens. You know, DiCaprio and Pitt are so good in this film. They could receive Oscar nominations. Not sure. It's way too early to predict that, but this is my favorite film of the year so far.
All right. Well, that leads me to our Oscar trivia question. And when you look at Once Upon a Time and IMDb, the movie database that's online that has everything, you get 26 returns. Now, some of those are for a TV series, but there were several movies that were Once Upon a Time, including one that was a spaghetti western that was set 1 year before Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It had 2 well-known stars.
It was filmed the year before. It wasn't set that.
Yeah, correct.
Set
yes.
in the West, right?
Yes, that's right. It was set in the Old West. It was filmed in 1968.
Yep.
It had 2 stars in it who were known on stage and in the cinema who won Academy Awards. Not for this film, but who were they?
Jason Robards and Henry Fonda.
Okay.
Would have been Once Upon a Time in the West, directed by Sergio Leone.
That's right. Clint Eastwood wouldn't show up in it because Charles Bronson got the role.
Bronson got the role, and that really made him a star.
So Jason Robards won his Academy Awards for?
Yeah, back-to-back supporting actor, All the President's Men in 76 and Julia in 77. And Fonda, on his deathbed, unfortunately, got the Oscar for On Golden Pond as he was ailing and dying.
And the year before, the honorary award.
Yes, he did get an honorary award.
All right, we've been to the movies with Matt O'Lean.